Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. We give you a hearty welcome to the ministry of God's precious word and the commencement today of some outline studies from the book of the Revelation. These will be in outline chiefly, not in detail, but in outline for our blessing. By the way of introduction to this study, we would read the first three verses that are found in chapter 1 of the Revelation. God writing by His Spirit through His servant John, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto His servants things which must shortly come to pass. And He sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We would also like to read two verses that are found at the close of the book in chapter 22. Verses 6 and 7, which say, the Lord Jesus speaking, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. As we commence this study, we can realize from chapter 1 that John was an exile on the island of Patmos. He was an outcast from the much-loved sphere of work which was his among the saints, but he was the first person to enjoy the teaching and the privilege of this wonderful book. At the time of his exile, it was God's time for giving us the chart for the troubled wilderness journey which lay between John in that day when he was in the Isle of Patmos and the coming eternal state of the new heaven and the new earth. We would call attention particularly to the blessing which God offers the student of this book, saying, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear and keep or observe or treasure up the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And again it is repeated where we read in chapter 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly, blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Please note very carefully and clearly, God does not say, blessed is he or she who understands. For if there be anyone who will read it, or will hear it read, and observe the sayings of the book, he or she will receive a blessing. Now, as we look through the book together, I trust that you will see with me that the revelation, this book, is no trackless ocean, nor is it without some of the most blessed springs of water, nor is it without fruit of the tree of life for our blessing. The revelation, we repeat again, contains God's chart, revealing the actions of his beloved and blessed Son from the time of the Apostle John's exile on Patmos to the time when the new heaven and the new earth will be known. We would suggest in the reading of this precious book, you should keep and I should keep the eye upon Christ himself. See where he is. Note what he is doing as you read the book. In this way, you will have light for your intelligence and warmth for your heart, as well as strength for the conscience and the purpose of heart to be a doer of God's will. For after all, the beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a living person. And whatsoever glories we may see in the Word revealing him, is not this the sole clue through the whole book? For if we see the living one who gives all power to all the seals, the trumpet, and the vial judgments, we can be satisfied to wait until many of the details will explain themselves by their accomplishments. For the word of God itself accomplishes itself. But we live and we must feed ourselves upon Christ even now. First, let me state necessarily the divisions of this book of the Revelation. God himself has divided the Revelation into three great parts, according to verse 19 and the words of this one verse in chapter 1. God commanding John, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are and the things which shall be hereafter. The first division is found in chapter 1. The second division in chapters 2 and 3. The third division covers the remaining chapters of the book. The first division consists, as we shall see, of the things which John had already seen, that glorious vision of Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. The second division will cover the things which are, the moral and the spiritual history of Christendom during the present church age. And the last division will cover the things which shall be hereafter. Those events which will follow the removal of the church to heaven and onward to the glorious consummation of the new heaven and the new earth. May we suggest that it is God himself, without any human homiletics, who outlines for us the blessed book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 19. Now we will consider the first division of the book, the glorious Son of Man in the midst of the churches, which is described in chapter 1. For following the introduction as well as the theme, John declares that while he was on the Isle of Patmos, God gave to him this unveiling, this vision of Jesus Christ. And upon hearing the divine speaker, John turns to see, and he beholds the glorious manifestation of the Son of Man in the midst of seven golden candlesticks or lampstands, which according to verse 20, represent the seven churches to which the Lord wrote. Now this title of Son of Man is the judgment title of Christ, and the description of his glories set before us his attributes that qualify him to be the judge of his people. Consider very briefly the description of his glories. First, we read that he is clothed with a garment down to the foot. He is a majestic figure of honor and dignity, signifying that he possesses the character of true, perfect priestly judgment. Second, he is girt about the breast with a golden girdle, for in divine righteousness he is a king, as well as a priest. But the sovereign girdle around his breast restrains his affections, for here he is presented as the righteous judge of all. Third, his head and his hairs were white like wool and as white as snow. This describes the maturity of his wisdom and the absolute holiness of the person of Christ, who is also known as the Ancient of Days, described in Daniel 7 and verse 9. Fourth, we read that his eyes were as a flame of fire. They are eyes which, with divine omniscience, penetrate through all beings and all things with complete discernment. Fifth, his feet are like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. The characteristic of unyielding strength is implied. For when Christ will appear as the judge of the world, he will utterly destroy his enemies and crush them under his feet. He will yield to no one. Sixth, his voice is as the sound of many waters. Above the roar of mighty cataracts will the voice of the Son of Man be heard in that coming and nearing day of judgment. For the Lord upon high is mightier than the sound or the noise of many waters. Seven, he has in his right hand seven stars, indicating his power and his personal authority in all ecclesiastical matters to the church which is his body. 'Tis he who appoints, maintains, upholds and directs the affairs of his people. Eighth, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword. He is immediately identified here as the living word of God. For him it is but to speak, and he will strike a blow of judicial execution. Last and ninth, his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. The face which was once marred more than the sons of men, now shines in radiant glory, a glory which is brighter than the earthly sun. When John sees the glimpse of the Son of Man, he declares, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." For the weakness of humanity must fall down at the feet of glorious deity. Yet in grace, the Lord Jesus lays his hand upon John, revealing himself as the ever-living one, though once dead, but now alive forevermore, with the absolute mastery of death and Hades belonging to him. The lowly man of Calvary is now a glorified and a living Savior for all. Oh, my beloved friend, we plead with you. Have you ever fallen at the blessed feet of this Savior? Have you ever acknowledged him as your own personal Savior and Lord? For that is the place for you, and that is the place for me. The place of obedient acceptance of his great redeeming work, which he has done for us, that in our hearts we may adore the blessed person of the Son of God. Oh, my beloved, we have introduced to us in the opening of our study the person who is going to be the judge of all the earth. May I ask you, are you ready to meet him as judge? Can you say the Lord Jesus Christ is my blessed Savior, and I fear not the judgment, for he has saved me completely from the penalty which I fully deserve by dying upon the cross of Calvary? Oh, beloved, may I say very earnestly, this poor world is facing very soon and quickly the coming of the judge. We ask our listeners, are you ready to meet him? Saved by his grace, God grant that you are. Beloved, blessed Father, to thee we commend and commit thy precious word for the blessing of saints and for the salvation of sinners. Amen.